You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Indeed, it is time for Family Matters, and we're going to focus in today on passive-aggressive behavior, particularly in the workplace. But of course, it can arise in any situation where human beings are interacting. It can happen at home, in the friendship circles that you are embedded within. And the workplace is particularly interesting because we're forced to sort of get along with one another, and you deal with many different personality types. And I wonder whether you struggle with passive-aggressive behavior, overtly aggressive behavior, sometimes easier to deal with because it announces itself. Passive-aggressive behavior doesn't. And that's why we've got trauma psychotherapist with us to unpack exactly what the different characteristics are, but crucially, how to also deal with such behavior in the workplace. Luisa Niehaus is with us. Luisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Eusebius. Fascinating topic.
It is fascinating. And the first is just identifying it. You know, when someone is explicitly aggressive, it's almost like if you're explicitly misogynistic, explicitly a racist, explicitly homophobia, then we can all kind of like agree what the phenomenon is. Mm. Passive aggressive behavior in the first instance can be very hard just to recognize.
Yeah, it's so nuanced and it's very difficult. However, a great indicator is the effect that it has on the receiver. So if you find yourself as the receiver feeling elements of rage, anger, confusion, hopelessness, it's probably accurate. Initially, when people come across a passive-aggressive individual, they feel like they're going nuts, especially if this type of behavior is perpetuated over time, because you're not quite sure if it really is passive-aggressive or not, which is one of the hallmarks of passive-aggressiveness. Hmm. Passive-aggressive people will say things like, I thought you knew. I didn't know you wanted that now. They would give you what I call a non-compliment. Fabulous dress. Pity I can't afford one right now because I have to pay for my children's schooling.
Yeah.
And it leaves you feeling angry. Mm. And in a sense, this is where the passive individual gains a lot of power because they manipulate you into feeling angry because they can't own their anger.
I would imagine it's also, but those examples you give, and they come from a place where we can find millions of them, that what confuses the person at the receiving end of the passive-aggressive behavior is that there may be some prima facie truths in what the passive-aggressive person is saying, which makes it even harder to turn around and say, Luisa, you're just being passive-aggressive, because what you might be saying may well be accurate.
Exactly.
But the tone, the body language, the intention, and I would imagine over a long period of time, the cumulative effect of that behavior, that's where it's at. But those things are very subtle. Accuse you of passive-aggressive behavior, you can simply say, but what do you disagree with?
Exactly, which is the double bind in it. Mm. Look, there may be some truth inherent in it. We're all passive-aggressive in some way. I know I have a tendency to procrastinate. However, if it's consistent and if it affects others in my working environment, like, for example, if I'm consistently late for meetings or if I consistently don't hand in a report on time, that is sabotage, which is an element of passive-aggressiveness.
Mm. And so what is the most important sort of insight in terms of how one handles such a personality? Because they often coexist with bullying and with power.
Exactly.
It's not often that the passive-aggressive behavior comes from someone who don't also have those other traits that are also often antisocial.
And there are also elements of a narcissistic personality disorder that can come and creep in as well, sense of entitlement, etc. In our modern-day society, we are socialized to be incredibly politically correct. So anger and overt anger does not have a place. So where is it going to go? Mm. People are going to sugarcoat it. Mm. And it's going to come out in a subverted form. And that's where it's dangerous, insidious, and difficult to pinpoint.
Mm. Okay, 19 minutes after 11. Let's take a small little breather there.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
We're talking today about passive-aggressive behavior, and if you've got a question, do give us a call. Luisa Niehaus is with us. She's a trauma psychotherapist. Is this behavior that you're experiencing, you're not quite sure what name to give it, and maybe the definition that you heard a little bit earlier this hour resonates with you? Is that something you're encountering from a colleague in the workplace, from a boss, from a team member, or... because it is a safe space, and I know this is very difficult for us to self-examine. Is this behavior that you recognize in yourself even, and maybe you never thought about it as such before? You thought it's just part of your personality trait, and maybe you've never thought about the impact that it might have on other people. Give us a call, 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567, and you can speak directly to Luisa. We're going to have a good 20 minutes left with her.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Luisa, how many points did you silently get there? Shall we give a couple more examples of passive-aggressive behavior?
Yes, I'm going to.
Let's do so now.
Right. So let me give you some examples that will help people to better understand what passive-aggressiveness is. People who are always running infuriatingly late. Look, we're all late. At times. But people who do it consistently, late for a meeting, late handing in a report, it's passive aggressive. Leaving things undone, finishing a task up until a certain point and then never getting through it entirely. Mm. That's another example of passive aggressiveness. The non-compliment. So that is a really barbed type of compliment. You have gotten so far despite your education level, which is particularly nasty compliment to say to somebody. Then there's silence. Silence is always a go-to strategy for passive aggressives.
It's the ultimate, isn't it?
Yep, and it's not hard to see why. It says nothing at all, but it says volumes.
Because you're ghosting the other person, and that's the aggression wrapped up in the passive behavior.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it ostensibly avoids a conflict, but in fact it provokes one. The very lack of communication is a taunt and a goad. It's passive, and yet it's so aggressive.
Does the intention matter?
Yes.
In other words, if someone is consistently late, for example, maybe they're just a sloth, or does it not matter? Does the impact on me as the teammate, is that all that matters to be able to accurately characterize it as passive-aggressive? You know what I mean? Maybe someone is just slovenly as part of their character trait.
Possibly, but if you're waiting on that person in order for you to complete a task or get a deadline done, it's sabotaging you.
Mm.
And if it happens consistently, look, once or twice, one can forgive the person. Another example is wistful wishing. It would be great if you could get the project done by Wednesday, but I guess you're only going to get it done by Friday.
Let's put your headphones on for me. Someone who thinks that you are busy describing what they might be experiencing is Cheryl. Cheryl, thank you so much for picking up the phone today. And Luisa is all ears.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you, Luisa. I've been what I thought was a victim of passive-aggressive behavior, but I'm starting to feel like I'm the one that's passive-aggressive because I'm so emotional that it feels like aggression because things are not happening in the order that I need them to happen. And so I don't know if you can understand that, but when you are faced with somebody who's possibly, I would say, is passive-aggressive, obviously I'm not a psychologist or a counselor, and then you hit a dead brick wall every time, and eventually you yourself become passive-aggressive.
So what kind of things do they do, Cheryl, or say?
Well, for instance, you need information in order to complete documentation, and then they just never give it to you. And then they just assume that you're slack because you haven't done something, but it's because you actually need to get things done properly.
So it's reflective on you. That's what happens. You get sabotaged. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah, but it's almost like a twist around that in the very end you feel like you're the one that's to blame. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm the one that's to blame. And
that's typical of passive-aggressive behavior because ultimately it's how it impacts on you. And if you're the one left carrying the can, you are the victim of passive-aggressive behavior. However, I would ask you, how assertive are you when it comes to asking for things?
Well, I would say I've been very assertive, but I've only been assertive directly to the person. And, you know, I'm starting to think maybe I have to go a little bit higher in terms of asking for some support from people who may, but I've asked the person and I've asked other people related to them, but they're all, you know, it seems to be there's a, you know, with a particular person that it's, there's almost, people have a fear of the particular person because it's a history of not getting it, things through, done. But it's a very personal thing, you know what I mean? That's why when it becomes emotional, it's when you know it's something that has to be done because it, it's going to impact on somebody's life seriously, but you cannot get it done. And then you become, well, like I become very emotional and then I get passive, I think it's basically called like crazy. I get called crazy.
Yes, you start feeling like you're going nuts. Yeah. And that's one of the common indicators of being on the receiving end of passive aggressiveness. You get so many mixed messages and you feel so confused. And in the end, you feel guilty and you feel responsible.
Mm. So how does one, what are the productive ways to respond to such a character?
I think that the most important thing would be to remain assertive, clear and concise in what you need from this person and to perhaps put some kind of measures in place to ensure that there's a checklist, that this person will get back to you with certain things at a certain time. Mm-hmm. The best way to deal with passive-aggressive people is to be clear and to confront the behavior in an open and a concise manner.
Mm. Is that something you've done, Cheryl?
I have done it, but I'm going to keep doing that because just as you're saying that in that calm way, it's making me realize I'm not being crazy by asking for the same things over again because it's actually a very necessary thing that I need. So I'm not, you know, I'm not like beating up the book, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you do something enough times and nobody responds, you start thinking, well, maybe I am crazy.
Well, this is what happens commonly, as I said, with passive-aggressive behavior. You start feeling, because it's so elusive and it's not overt, that you start feeling like it's you that's imagining things. Mm-hmm. So take heart that it's not, but you have, and also with passive-aggressive people, you have to model the correct behavior, and over a period of time and through repetition, hopefully that behavior will change. But it's almost like parenting in the office environment. You have to set the tone.
What drives it? Are some people just nasty by nature, or is there complexity here? In other words, could it be that all sorts of unhappiness, all sorts of things in their own experience of the same workplace led them to the kinds of behavior, which is not behavior we condone, that they are now acting out?
Yeah, look, I do a lot of work in the corporate sector, and I see it's like it's a mini family, it's an extended family, and we all come there with all our baggage and all our triggers and all our drives. However, there are some people who are not skilled in asserting themselves. Mm. Assertion is a skill, and it's easily overlooked in our families of origin, in our upbringing, and because we get taught that hard skills such as maths and history and science are far more important than emotional management.
Sure.
So people don't learn skills like assertiveness. Mm. And consequently, when they get into the workplace and they're placed in an environment where they have to interact with others, they don't have this. So they withdraw into sulking, silence, those kinds of manipulative behavior that don't bode well for the people you're working with.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly why I was asking. And it doesn't mean one must let them off the hook because it doesn't change the impact of their behavior.
No.
But it does mean that possibly, I wonder if you would agree, not all passive-aggressive people are bad people. Some of them may be asking for help.
Exactly. No, I agree with you. And I don't think we should pathologize this to such a to a huge extent. Because as I said at the beginning of the show, I procrastinate. I hate doing the dishes. Mm-hmm. Who wants to go and mow the lawn on a Saturday afternoon? You'd rather put it off. There's also a school of thought that talks about passive aggressiveness as a convenience. So, for example, your husband or wife wants to go away for the weekend, but you don't because there's a fabulous sports match that you want to watch. And you don't give your spouse an answer as to when you want to go. You keep on putting it off.
Mm.
But there's a reason.
The silent
it's
treatment.
Convenient. Mm. You don't want to go away. Mm. But that doesn't mean that you're a serial passive-aggressive person.
fascinating. I suspect many of us are passive aggressive to different degrees because we all use these tactics. Paul, good morning.
Howdy.
Hi, loud and clear.
Fantastic, man. I love your guys' show.
Thank you, Paul. What made you call in today?
Look, I'm just, you know, I might say something quite controversial now. But, you know, I really believe that, you know, any form of aggression in the workplace must be handled appropriately. I really do believe that. However, where I have a problem is that where you run the risk of people criminalizing passive-aggressive behavior. So, for instance, if I do something in a certain way, that can be criminalized. And why I say that is because, you know, it's very easy for someone, if you look at nowadays mainstream liberal media, has used a lot of those sort of tactics to kind of silence people who want to just voice their opinions. And that's, you know, it's a controversial thing I'm saying. And don't get me wrong, I believe people can really be passive-aggressive and people can be completely, they can do things deliberately to sabotage or whatever you're trying to do. And people are just the way it is. But I feel that the risk of it being used politically is much higher than
I don't understand entirely, though, Paul. What is your critique of liberal media have to do with passive aggression?
Well,
because passive aggressive behavior, as our trauma psychotherapist has explained it, is certainly not something that liberals have a monopoly on. All human beings can and do display it, regardless of whether you're liberal, illiberal, conservative or not. So I'm trying to understand, how are you trying to draw threads between free speech debates and policing of people's feelings and passive aggressive?
Well, don't get me wrong. You know,
I'm not getting you at all, let alone wrong.
No, what I mean is, don't get me wrong, anyone can use passive-aggressive behavior in whatever means they see fit. But you see a lot of people in the media saying stuff like, don't say this in a certain way, you're going to hurt my feelings. And
so are you saying, Paul, that one can be too politically correct? And or are you saying that if you tell your truth, that it can be seen as passive aggressiveness?
Hold on, Paul, don't be aggressive. Listen to Louisa.
You know what?
No, I'm not.
I'm wondering where this has happened for you.
What's happened, Paul? You had an experience. Share it with us. Experiences are the most powerful.
No. Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. As I said, you know, political correctness is a point of view, you know.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to cut you off there because you're just now chowing into our time. I don't know what he's saying. Maybe you, with your expert ear, heard him differently.
I think what Paul was trying to say was that, I don't know, my sense was that he may have said something and that it had been perceived as passive aggressive.
Okay.
And he wanted to say his piece, and that in our day and age, we get caught out for saying things that do not conform to the general consensus.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you make of that?
I think he was.
Because your definition was very powerful.
Yeah.
You suggested that if someone experiences you as passive aggressive, then that is what they are experiencing.
Exactly.
And maybe Paul is pushing back and saying, well, it can't just be about perceptions.
Mm.
What if my intention wasn't as you are experiencing it?
And maybe Paul has difficulty in expressing himself clearly.
Mm.
And it was misinterpreted, and he works or lives in an environment where he doesn't feel he can say his piece.
Sure. Okay, 11 minutes before noon. Cynthia and Charlie, we're going to take your calls as well. Fascinating conversation. If you've just joined us, we're talking about passive aggressiveness, particularly in the workplace. What is it? How do you identify it? And how do you begin to push back against, obviously, some very unproductive consequences of passive aggressive behavior?
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
I think I finally understood what that caller was trying to say.
Okay.
Being wrongly accused of passive-aggressive behavior. For example, someone saying, you've just been passive-aggressive by cutting him off.
I cut him off
for decisiveness, quite frankly.
Yeah.
We've got to move on. We've got a brilliant psychotherapist here, and we need to get insights from her, and we've got other callers. So I put the listeners first. That wasn't even passive. That was being aggressive. Yeah.
Straight up.
Juju 101. Sometimes we need to move on. Let's move right along to Cynthia in Cape Town. How's it, Cynthia?
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Hi.
It is only a pleasure.
Yeah, I find myself in a position where I really do believe that I'm on the end of passive-aggressive behavior from my manager. It's very, very difficult to deal with. You know, I try to maintain a respectful attitude whilst still, you know, setting boundaries and sticking up for myself. But I, you know, I get the cold shoulder. I don't have my emails answered. And it really affects my productivity. I feel like I can't do anything right eventually. And again, like a previous caller, I end up feeling like I'm going crazy and I'm at fault, you know.
So what are some of the behaviors that you are experiencing from your boss?
Well, just a very sort of frosty attitude when I respectfully disagree with something that directly affects me. And this goes on not just, you know, for the day, but for weeks. And then if there's... if there's some sort of, you know, policy or some sort of request or whatever that I can't agree with for legitimate reasons.
Do you feel negated?
Yeah, completely unheard, completely... You know, and the thing is, right, a lot of us are in this situation, I think. You know, I need the job. Yeah, it's not something I can just sort of
sure.
And what are his her communication skills like?
Mm. Hey, Cynthia.
Say again.
What are his or her communication skills like?
A little bit ambiguous. Not sort of. Everything's fine if I'm agreeing.
okay.
But very, very curt and short and. You know, rather frosty and unpleasant if I'm not up to and including being sort of flat out ignored.
Okay. And how do you experience assertiveness in other areas of your life?
I think I'm pretty assertive. You know, I don't enjoy conflict, but I do understand that, you know, one does have to stick up for oneself.
Okay, but it's difficult in the face of this because he's your senior and you're not quite sure how to handle it. But you seem to have outlined another type of passive-aggressive behavior, which is omission, he leaves you out of things? Okay. So one of the best things for you to do would probably be to ask him directly in a respectful way if there's a reason why you were left out or that you did not receive emails. Could you do that?
Have you done that, Cynthia?
I haven't. I've just sort of been at a loss.
You've just probably identified the behavior. That's it. It's a very confusing and nuanced type of behavior to identify. And as I said to a previous caller, you end up feeling confused and at a loss. And the way to examine whether you're on the receiving end of passive-aggressive behavior is to examine your own feelings because what you are feeling is what the person is projecting.
How does one find the courage, or does it just come a point where you have to weigh up the pros and cons to ask the person directly and speak about the elephant in the room? Because this kind of behavior seems to be coming from the same place, I would imagine, Louisa, as, for example, predatory behavior or bullying behavior, where if I dare to call you out or ask you even in a nice way and you flat out deny it, then I'm going to...
Then what? I wouldn't couch it in the terms of saying to your boss, I think you're passive aggressive. That will be really inflammatory. I would rather look at something specific. For example, ask, is there a reason why you weren't included in an email? Is there a reason why you were left out of a meeting? That's how I would approach it.
So try and keep the examples, make it based on observations. And so that there's some specificity in that feedback exchange.
And make it open. Open, clear communication that they can respond to clearly. Yes, no. Or maybe the next time they'll think twice before they again leave you out of an email.
Yeah. Okay, squeeze in a last caller. Omar, good morning.
Hi, how's it?
Good, thanks.
Yes, you know, I just tapped in about 20 minutes ago, and I feel like with the given examples, I feel like I could be one that is passive-aggressive. One in terms of the fact that I procrastinate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And another side of it would be when it comes to, especially my relationship now with my partner, after an argument or during an argument, I'd go completely silent at times where I resort to silence instead of addressing the issue. Another thing would then be the whole silence on compliments. So either the curved compliments and all of those. So now my question is, how do I work through that?
I'm so sad that we're running out of time, because that is such a beautiful call.
Mm.
We don't all self-examine the way in which Omar has done. But if you had 30 seconds, what should be the journey? Is recognize the behavior. He's not running away from it. Where to from here for him?
First of all, you're immensely courageous. And thank you so much for owning up. The fact that you are looking at your behavior around procrastination, silence regarding compliments, perhaps you've been schooled or it's learned behavior that you don't have a skill in being able to speak or express yourself clearly. Mm. That's what I would say to you around silence, that it's not a skill that you're used to dealing with. In terms of your procrastination, perhaps examine why there are things you procrastinate about, and if you do those things, how will they enrich your life? Because you're probably procrastinating. You might be a little bit scared of the goodness or the fantastic stuff that can come when you don't procrastinate.
Absolutely. So stop listening to the radio. Get on with it. Louisa, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.